You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be a big part at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. At Just PS, working hard on the board and the tunes and the phones for all you folks. And of course, it's Monday. It's our time. I'm jazzed as hell to reintroduce to you our friend, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's been a couple of weeks. We passed each other like ships in the night in Florida, but here we are together again, man. Great to see you.
I'll just tell you, it's more than a couple of weeks. It's been 3 weeks.
Oh, man.
3 weeks. But I do have to say that last week, Jess really, really was great and really made me comfortable and excited for the full 2 hours that I was sort of filling her role as she was filling your role. No, actually, that's unfair. I was not filling her role. I had no control over the technology.
Oh, man, that's great. We appreciate you coming on, Harvey, for the whole thing, and Jess as well. We got a lot of compliments on that production, so thank you so much. It's great stuff.
I hope so. I didn't think I was living up to her performance as my co-host.
Well, she has very
fantastic.
High standards, Harvey, let me tell you. 855-752-4842. Some interesting.
I gotta ask you. I know you've been back already on the air. I do have to ask you, how was Florida for you?
Oh, it was amazing. I really, really enjoyed Florida. You know, one of the nice things about it, I went down to stayed in Bradenton for a few days in the Sarasota area, and I got family down there, and I got to go see my Uncle Bill, who I believe turns 87 tomorrow. Cool. And he's still driving and getting around. I mean,
Uncle Bill.
You know what I'm saying? So that was really fun. And then we wandered down to Naples, stayed with my cousin, right downtown for several days down there. Got to the beach almost every day. The weather was really, really nice. We had a pool at the place, man. It was perfect. I actually wore, it was, you know, the sun is, and I'm this pale color after coming out of winter. I had to dose up on the 30, so I'm not as dark as I perhaps would have been, but you know, I got to take care of the skin.
You have hair on top of your head.
I do, yes, yes.
Did you wear a cap or did you say no?
No, I wore a hat most of the time. It was a little breezy and you know, this lock's blowing around. I mean, I did wear a hat most of the time. Well, you know, so it keeps it out of the eyes.
Play it safe.
Yeah.
This is the first time down in Florida. I think I wore a hat the whole time.
Yeah. It was a great trip, and it is great to be back. I got to tell you, though, it's kind of fantasy land down there, man. You know, the palm trees, the really nice cars, and super sick expensive homes, and the food's really good, and it's a great place to visit.
Wait, leave it at that. Don't go the next step. And I'll just observe, based on what you've said. First of all, I think the drivers are wild down there.
Dude, I was going to say, you know, they have the best roads. Unfortunately,
they're
full Florida drivers, man.
Yes. Right. And I assume they were not the Wisconsinites who were the worst down there. It was the Floridians themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I was going to say is that I do hope you enjoyed eating there as much as I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get nearly as much of the pie.
And you only sent one picture.
I only sent one picture.
Right.
The pie.
I was going to say that, right.
Harvey sent us damn near every meal he had.
Oh, man, but that key lime pie down there is off the charts. That's for real.
Yes. And the third thing I was going to say is that, now I just blanked on what it was. But it was more most important, but I don't remember.
Maybe
I can save it for the good stuff. I do remember. Sorry.
Okay, all right.
Every time you start thinking about how pleasant this place is, for the time you're there, just remember Governor DeSantis.
Right, man. It is it's interesting, let's put it that way. But I did have a great time, great visit, good to see everyone, and had great weather and good time, man. A successful few days off, no doubt. But at the end of the day, Harvey, here we are. We got to be, instead of fantasy land where none of that stuff matters, now we're in the real world, and I guess today, let's start here. We started in the last hour. I want to get your reaction. It seems like the business world is not taking too kindly to the uncertainty that's coming out of this administration. And as of right now, I believe what Elon Musk's Tesla is down 45% from its high from November.
I own no stock directly. So
all right. But this is a gauge of, you know, consumer sentiment is down. You know, unemployment, the jobs numbers didn't meet expectations. I mean, there's lots of different signals and indicators that are, you know, basically standard understood in the business community that are starting to flash a little bit. And when the president was asked by Fox, "Don't call it news, Bartiromo," I said, "No, I can't. I don't want to predict what's going to happen. There's going to be a time of adjustment, but it's all going to work out fine." Harvey K. We haven't talked in a while. What's your sense on how this administration, number one, is handling the tariffs and the economy writ large, and number two, you know, if we don't get a funding deal, continuing resolution of sorts, I mean, we could be shutting down the government by Friday.
Yeah. Well, to take up the points you've made or cited, you know, the aluminum makers in this country and the steel makers, they think it's cool, this tariff talk, because they see profits, because Canadian aluminum, Chinese steel, all that kind of stuff, they won't have to compete as much based on the tariffs. However, the automakers, if Ford is a spokesperson for that, are not happy at all. And by the way, more generally speaking, and I think the stock market's reflecting it, and I despise capital in the stock market, but I got to say this, business people do not like instability. They do not like unpredictability. Okay. For all the talk of entrepreneurialism and innovation, they prefer things to go along steadily, calmly, so they can figure out whether or not it's worth investing anew, whether it's worth building new plants sooner rather than later. So yeah, this doesn't
surprise
me.
Or doing the stock buybacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the big concern. Can we do our stock buybacks? No.
Well, that may happen in some ways, because look, if the stock market's crashing, they're in a position to do that. But, you know, it's just, let's put it this way. It sucks. It sucks. Working people have endured enough by way of inflation.
Yeah.
These public employees, the government workers who are being laid off, what kind of job market are they going to enter right now? I mean, that what was it, the January job report?
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's an indicator. Wait till we see February and March. That'll be the thing.
Yeah, and we have some additional inflation numbers coming out this week as well. The Atlanta Fed, I think they revised the GDP predictions to contraction for the first quarter of like just under 3%. And that's going from a positive almost 3% not so long ago. I mean, these concerns and indicators are flashing very, very quickly, and it certainly seems to be coming out in the numbers in the market. Now, you know, how does that impact everybody else, right? How does that impact if someone's not in the market? You know, what does that mean for them?
Well, I do have friends and family who are already feeling the heat.
In what way? Tell me that.
Well, the value of their holdings, whatever it is, has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a couple of young people I know are particularly worried because this, you know, if they'd asked me what should they do, I wouldn't have told them to go into stocks. Okay, but yeah, they're enduring. I mean, for now.
Well, nothing like an investment.
The beginning, you know, I am 75. I have never bought a share of stock. I am, of course, my pension and all that kind of stuff depends on performance of the market.
Sure,
whatever.
Sure.
But I've never bought stock. I never wanted to be, however large or small, a capitalist.
Could I interest you in some Trump meme coins, Harvey? I mean, for the low.
Well, by the way, that doesn't help add to the sense of stability, I'll tell you that.
Folks, you're listening to the
instability of the president alone.
You mean a literal joke currency doesn't add stability to the market?
Might put some money in his pocket, though. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey K., professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and a friend of ours. Always a pleasure to catch up, Harvey. So we'll wait and see. And I'm not rooting against this economy, but I just think when you see this kind of reaction and we see the lack of leadership and, as you mentioned, consistency, certainty coming out of the executive branch, no wonder why things are a little volatile right now.
I realize how bad I sound.
What do you mean?
Well, I want people to go into the next election remembering the instability.
Yeah.
And remembering the possibility that we're, by then we may have entered into a recession. I want them to know that. I mean, I don't want people to be happy about the Trump administration because what they're doing is nasty and brutish. And people need to know that. And the first time they're going to know that is when, my God, the price of eggs just doubled or something like that. Or the automobile they've been saving up has just increased 30%, you know, to purchase it. I mean, I don't mean to be, I don't want to sound that bad.
No, okay? It's just reality though, Harvey.
But I'll also tell you this. Back in the early 80s, when Reagan became president, there was a Reagan recession. People don't remember this because they think of the 80s when he was 80s. So I got my years right. Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah, 80s. Yep, 1980.
Okay. You know, everyone thinks that was a time of, you know, sort of dynamic action in the economy because it was the age of time of the rich and famous. Remember the celebrity rich and famous and the TV shows and all that.
Right.
But there was a serious recession at the outset of the Reagan presidency. However, that we were out of the recession by the time that the campaign for president in 84 began. As a consequence, people did not think about the recession. They thought about the fact we were coming out of the recession. I don't want a recession right now, but I do want people to know that the economy has not gotten any better for their daily lives because of Trump, and it's gotten worse in certain ways.
Well, was that a result of Reagan's policies?
Well, that's a good question. I wish I could answer that directly. I just don't know the answer to that, okay? I just don't know. I mean, of course, they all tried to say, it was Reagan's policies. It begins with Carter recruiting Volcker to be the chair of the Federal Reserve. And he was determined to draw, he wanted a recession because he wanted to hurt the working class. I mean, that was the plan. And it did hurt the working class. And it made life all the more difficult after the terrible 70s for the working class through the 80s. I mean, inequality then, in fact, the rich did get tremendously richer under Reagan. And inequality, as bad as it was getting in the 70s, it got even worse in the 80s. Now, keep in mind that I think you're right about things. You know, companies can buy back stock. You know, I mean, we know the story in some ways.
It has been written and reported before, and it will come back around again. Hence, perhaps the reason folks are getting a little jittery in the marketplace today. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Come back with us. We're going to get into that democracy. We're going to talk a little bit about perhaps Bernie Sanders and, oh, yeah, happy International Day of Hope, maybe. How does the United States, the only country, the UN, to not vote for the International Day of Hope? Come back with us, Harvey Kay, just on the board.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess is on the board. Harvey Kay is on the line with us as well. Thank you, Harvey, for joining us today. Always a pleasure to catch up. Not only is Elon Musk, the Tesla, having a little bit of a slide, apparently there have been some outages on the X. Twitter gone down a few times today, Harvey.
A few times. Well, that first time it did, I didn't know it was happening. I thought there was something wrong with my Wi-Fi. There was something wrong with my phone, my iPad. And then somebody of consequence sent me a note and said, you do realize that Twitter's down, right? And I said, no, I don't. But here's the thing. I think there's going to be fingers pointed by the likes of Trump and Musk and Charlie Kirk and that whole crew. They're going to say, oh, the left is trying to pull down Twitter, X. They won't say Twitter, they'll say X. And I got into a discussion with some folks who I know, some of whom are political activists and some of whom are very active students of the web and technologies regarding the web. And they are convinced it was a false flag.
Hmm.
They think that this was a setup, okay? And I'll give you one of two possibilities, but that this was set up as an excuse to then point a finger at the left. They want an excuse to do some seriously dangerous stuff, okay? Now, I said to them, I resisted that idea, and which led one of them to say this to me in a text. Cyber attacks are different from in-person protests, because I referred to the Tesla. I said, you know, people are going after Tesla. So more often than not, companies will pay white hackers to go ahead and legally find vulnerabilities in their security. This is the legal way of doing so. Considering Elon gutting over 50% of the workforce that just maintained the structure of Twitter, it would be more plausible that the duct tape that they were using to keep the site going failed.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
That's possibility one.
Yes.
Possibility two. Also, his Musk's half-brained idiots doing cuts to the federal government left their website wide open with access to the public, being equivalent to closing a door with a latch, but not locking it. His OPSEC, Operation Security Awareness, is laughably bad. So there you go, okay?
Oh, great. This is a guy who's got his nose in all of our internal government systems. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm trying to get more.
Duct tape and unlocked doors. That doesn't bring a lot of joy here, Harvey. The Mirror.com reporting that Dark Storm Team hackers have claimed responsibility. Dark Storm Team hackers. Apparently, a group known for sophisticated cyber warfare attacks and successful attacks on high security systems, the group claimed responsibility in a public Telegram post, though the actual content of the post remains unclear. One report indicates the team bragged about having successfully taken Twitter offline. Last week, Darkstorm said it would unleash cyber attacks on the government websites of NATO countries, according to the Mirror.com.
Oh, so wait a second. So that's a third possibility.
Storm.
The third possibility is that they've mistakenly believed that Musk cares something about NATO.
Dark Storm Team targets key business sectors, mainly in Israel and NATO member countries. The security service provider wrote in a report. The group reportedly vowed in a post last month to unleash a wave of cyber attacks on government websites of NATO countries, Israel, and nations that support Israel. Elon Musk, who named it X after person confirmed in a post, the platform was a site of a DDoS, was a target of a DDoS attack.
Hmm. Well, I haven't. Well, but, know I guess,
but here's the thing. So, okay, but this is the guy who's going to fix our government? He can't take care of his own stock and his cars and his business there. He's blowing up rockets all over the freaking place. And now he left Twitter up for the DDoS attack. But yeah, let's give him the keys to the vault.
I'm almost, you know, four-letter words are emerging in my brain.
Help.
Keep them in there.
They will
there.
Not
Help.
Emerge from my mouth.
Help is a four-letter word.
And love is as well. But that's the purpose, right. not
most. Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. So, I mean, I you know, this kind of thing, whether it pertains to Elon Musk, look, the guy's rich, doesn't make him the most brilliant man ever and can do anything he wants with no mistakes or no anything ever. And he certainly has gotten more, I think, credibility because, you know, given that to him because he's rich. That means he must be great and smart and all those things. And of course, we know that's not necessarily.
Well, no
the
love
case.
Is lost between amongst the billionaires. So for all I mean, you could have told me that right. Jeff Bezos had ordered the high tech guys at Amazon to go after X or Twitter.
Right. Oh, now we got to live in the world of billionaires. Harvey, I know we're kind of bouncing over the place, but I think yes. I saw that Elon Musk challenged, was number one ripping on the president of Poland. And then he challenged Vladimir Putin to a fight? Is this what's happening right now? And I would just say, on behalf of Vladimir Putin, I accept Elon Musk. I will take that action.
I'll bring the popcorn.
Harvey, there are some some concerning issues. One of them, and maybe we only got a couple minutes left in this segment, regarding the media, a continual slide. What I see it from our mainstream media sources, Ruth Marcus, an associate editor and columnist over at the Washington Post, has resigned. She wanted to put up an article that was, you know, critical of the decision making of Bezos when they went after the whole editorial team and all that. They wouldn't publish it, so she, you know, stood on her morals and decided she was no longer going to be at the Washington Post. And we see this happening over and over again. I mean, obviously, Bezos buys the Post. We got Zuckerberg and Facebook, and we got the billionaire owning over at the LA Times. And it's already been very difficult for journalists and journalism in general and local media and local newspapers. I mean, what we're doing here over at Civic Media is really kind of against the grain. And I want to talk a little bit about that on the other side here, Harvey. And then also, as well, this protester from Colombia, here legally on a green card, picked up under the orders of Donald Trump. So the president can now just start having people arrested? AOC had some words on that, and I certainly have some thoughts on that. We're going to get Harvey's thoughts on that as well. You know, he is the professor emeritus of democracy, and I think in order to have a democracy, we actually do need to have some working justice system as well. Plus, the end of the show, tell us something good is beautiful out. You can use that if you want. 855-752-4842. Come back with us. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-7. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Our pal Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me till the top of the hour. Don't forget, tell us something good. We wrap it up on a smile, a cherry on top, and a positive note at the end of the show. That will be our last segment, the next segment. Harvey, as I was talking about before the last break, the goings-on in the media world, another one from the Washington Post has departed. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs here briefly, if you would entertain me here. Columnist and associate editor Ruth Marcus, and we've quoted Ruth Marcus a lot on this show, announced her departure Monday, saying she can no longer stay at the paper where she's worked for 4 decades after she and the chief executive and publisher, Will Lewis, she said that Will Lewis, the chief executive and publisher, he spiked her column. Well, it was critical of Bezos' mandate to the opinion section. Here is what she wrote in her resignation letter. Jeff's announcement that the opinion section will henceforth not publish views that deviate from the pillars of individual liberties and free markets threatens to break the trust of readers that columnists are writing what they believe, now what the owner has deemed acceptable. More than 75,000 digital subscribers canceled within 48 hours of Bezos implementing the changes last month, and opinions editor David Shipley stepped down over the order. Marcus went on to write, Will's decision to not run the column that I wrote respectfully dissenting from Jeff's edict, something that I have not experienced in almost 2 decades of column writing, underscores that the traditional freedom of columnists to select the topics they wish to address and say what they think has been dangerously eroded. Of course, remember, Bezos blocked the newspaper from endorsing Kamala Harris for president. That caused 300,000 digital subscribers to cancel within days, and the Amazon executive has moved closer to Trump since the election. Finally, Marcus said in her resignation letter, I love the Post. It breaks my heart to conclude that I must leave. I have the deepest affection and admiration for my colleagues and will miss them every day. And I wish you both the best as you steer this storied and critical institution through troubled times. But don't say anything bad about the boss. Harvey K., the media in this country is just taking a hit, man. And I don't know. I don't think that billionaires owning the media is any better than billionaires owning the politicians. If we don't have freedom of press in this country, you know, by folks that are not encumbered by a billionaire's influence, we really don't have freedom of press.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, let me go back a little bit in time. When Senator John McCain warned us, and I rarely quote John McCain, but he warned us that the emergence of a dictator will the first thing we'll see is the loss of a truly free press. He warned about that, and he had Trump in mind. Now, what Trump has been able to do, of course, he's lined up these, I know I joked about it before the break, that, you know, there's little love lost amongst these billionaires, mm-hmm. but it is the case that Trump has lined them up. We saw them at the inauguration. So I was shocked, though, when Bezos did what he did regarding, you know, bowing to Trump in his editorial pages, insisting on, what's it called? What do you say? Individual liberties.
Individual liberties and free market.
Right. I mean, that's like take us back to the, you know, to the late 19th century kind of stuff. So that surprised me. I will tell you that I have had an online, what do they call it? A web subscription, online subscription mm-hmm. to the Post. And I canceled mine as a consequence. Yeah. Though, in fact, apparently my subscription, I couldn't cancel for the next 3 weeks after I did that. So I still have been getting the news stuff.
Yeah.
But it also surprised me what you just said. I had no idea Ruth Marcus had stuck around that long. Yeah. I mean, it strikes me. I mean, I know people's livelihoods are at stake, but it is the case that if they're told from now on, you're going to toe the line intellectually and ideologically and editorially, I mean, that should have driven the whole cast of characters out, I would think.
Yeah.
Anyhow, to me, it's all very disturbing. The monopolization or oligopolization of the media. I remember articles from when I was, you know, doing graduate work where people were worrying about it. And it's just gotten worse, obviously, over the past 50 years. But you said something very interesting. And you said just before we went on to the break that civic media is trying to represent another voice, another set of ideas, an open conversation. And I intended to say, I didn't realize you were going to say it then, I intended to say when we came back that there's a whole diverse array of folks who are trying to do that. And I brag, sorry, I don't get paid, folks. Everyone realize, I do not get paid. I do this because I really enjoy talking with Dom and with Jess and letting people hear what I have to say. But I have to say that I think it's amazing what civic media is doing, especially in these moments. And I'm proud to be a guest on a weekly basis with you. So I say that as a compliment for what you guys do and also for what people have done in putting together civic media around the state of Wisconsin. I'm out of the state. I tell people about this. They can't believe what's happened here in the state politically. But now hearing this, they think, wow, things must be happening anew there.
Yeah. And thank you, Harvey. I mean, it's always a pleasure to have you, man. And our friendship and our conversations have grown over the years. And it's been a whole lot of fun. And we wouldn't have this opportunity if it were not for the efforts of the folks here at Civic Media. And it's not all, you know, news talk. I mean, it's music and it's getting out and it's, you know, there's sports and there's things that are happening because at the end of the day, there's people in these local communities that are, you know, interacting. But, you know, doesn't have like the web presence of the Washington Post or the New York Times or the LA right. Times. You know, I mean, it's just a different level. And not to say that it's not as impactful, but when you see these billionaires buying up these legacy newspapers and then just, you know, bending them to their will, I think, you know, we as consumers of news, and I get it. I can differentiate, Harvey, between the opinion piece and the news piece. You know, I'm not sure a lot of people can. So like Donald Trump, because everything's crooked media. Everything's, you know, the bad press. So I am concerned for us in this country because of that. And thankfully there are organizations out there like Civic Media, and though there's others out there as well, locally, like Wisconsin Watch, Wisconsin Examiner, you know, Urban Walk. We got people that are putting stuff out there, Cap Time, and we can go through the list.
Sure.
But they're, you know, when you're talking about the Washington Post, that's just a whole nother level.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm going to say something stupid right now. Okay.
Okay.
One thing that I've been reflecting on, you know, that I was professor, and I'm now professor emeritus of democracy and justice. And I was thinking, did I fail to properly get my colleagues when I was there to name our program and my position? Should we have called ourselves Democracy and Dictatorship? And I, not because we want to promote it, but we should have maybe spent a hell of a lot more time talking about how it happens.
Yeah, wasn't it Reagan who said made some comments about, you know, it doesn't pass through your bloodline, you know, you got to fight, every generation's got to fight for their freedoms and their version of democracy. Every generation has those challenges, Harvey, and I think I blame the boomers, but I think we're failing it now, man. When you know, everyone's in their silos and it's hard to have these conversations. And we talked about earlier when Bernie Sanders came to town over the weekend, Harvey. He was in Kenosha. He was in another small town. Thousands of people coming out on his anti-oligarchy tour. And one of the pro-Trumpers at Parkside in Kenosha was out there, and he was, you know, pro-Trump and was mad how everybody was slandering, as his words were, the president. And then he lamented that it was hard to have conversations without people, you know, swearing at him and doing all that. And I disagree with the slander, I do agree, yes, you know, these conversations are getting more and more, I think, difficult for some folks to have. And I'm not clear how we engage without, you know, confronting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm down to have a conversation, but if you think, you know, doing the Nazi symbol is going to be ever okay with me, man, there's no explaining those kinds of things away.
Look, their leader, Donald Trump, ended the possibility of good conversations when he referred to the whole cohort of Democratic politicians who had the audacity in his mind to challenge him. Okay, he called, you know, what did he do? He promised he was going to prosecute them. And by the way, that may be coming. Let's be clear about that. That may well be coming. And it's also the case, and let's be clear, that if MAGA forces believe that Donald Trump won the election of 2020, how do you possibly have a conversation about democracy and the making of change?
Yeah, yeah. Makes it very difficult, doesn't it? When you're talking about alternative facts, because, you know, at the end of the day, a conversation, communication requires an agreement of certain facts. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Otherwise, you're just bouncing around. So that's the challenge. And I think, unfortunately, you know, people like Donald Trump, who is a skilled hustler, is able to, you know, manipulate people's fears and be vindictive, and he has his own narcissistic tendencies that people grab onto, and he motivates them with the fear. And as it pertains to, you know, these other arrests coming, yeah, perhaps. And let me just segue, if I may, briefly, the arrest of Mahmoud Khalil. He is one of the Columbia protesters. A little reporting from the New Republic. This is what Trump had to say today. Following my previously signed executive orders, ICE proudly apprehended and detained Mahmoud Khalil, as Trump puts it, a radical foreign pro-Hamas student at the campus of Columbia University. This is the first arrest of many to come. We know there are more students at Columbia and other universities across the country who have engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activity, and the Trump administration will not tolerate it. Many are not students. They are paid agitators. Yeah. We will find, apprehend, and deport these terrorist sympathizers from our country, never to return again. If you support terrorism, including the slaughtering of innocent men, women, and children, your presence is contrary to our national and foreign policy interests. You are not welcome here. We expect every one of America's colleges and universities to comply. Thank you. Thank you. Now, this guy's here. He was arrested returning to his home despite the fact he has a green card. ICE initially informed his lawyer, Amy Greer, that they had revoked the student visa. When Greer brought up Khalil's green card, which would make it much harder to detain him, ICE said that was revoked too and hung up on her. He's now thought to be in an ICE facility in Louisiana. Now, this facility in Louisiana, according to the ACLU, is pretty nasty. He is now moved to the detention facility, infamous for its rampant abuse of prisoners, including, quote, this is from the ACLU, restrictive 5-point shackles, prolonged solitary confinement, physical assault, sexual abuse, and denial of prescribed medications. That's where this Columbia student protester, who Donald Trump has now labeled a terrorist, is being held as they revoked his green card, Harvey.
You know, there's something called due process.
Yeah, you think? There used to be.
There has been something called due process. So in fact, if they're convinced that he has in some ways broken the law, then they should put him in a courtroom, not in a prison, not in a jail. Okay. And as I think about Louisiana, they have a pretty infamous prison down there. I'm sure the question of how to incarcerate people ought to be explored more fully. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I'm thinking of Angola, the prison down there. No, I mean, seriously, look, there are times when presidents issue executive orders that threaten rights and the Constitution. And this kind of event where ICE can go out and arrest someone with a green card, pick them up and throw them in a prison without any due process, it's unconstitutional. And it's striking that I wouldn't be surprised if there were mass protests at campuses around the
country.
There
should be, Harvey, and I think in some way this is what, you know, the president wants. I think he's eager to, you know, bring the hammer down.
Yes,
for some right. reason. And there should be protests from students around the country. I certainly think so. I mean, come on, where is the due process? And this is coming not from a local prosecutor, not from a DA or anything like that. This is coming from the White House. The president said, arrest that person, and they went out and arrested him. That doesn't seem like probable cause to me. He hasn't been charged with any crimes, let alone convicted of any crimes.
Folks, I have a question to ask.
Yes.
I have a question to ask you in that same spirit. He was eager to bring an end to birthright citizenship. And I believe he issued an executive order to explore doing so. Did he actually issue an executive order to stop it?
Come back with us. We'll figure it out. 855-752-4842 and tell us something good.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love?
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 855-752-4842, 855-75 Civic. Like to wrap up the day with something good. Got our pal Harvey K here for one more segment. Also, Jess PS is on the board. We got some texters here as well. I'm gonna share a little bit here, if I may. And I'm, you know, there's so many texts, and some are very prolific. So it's kind of you know who you are, but it's kind of hard to get through them all. But I did see Len from Madison. Something good. I never knew what true happiness was until I got married. But then it was too late.
Boo.
Boo.
Len. Come on, man. It's pretty amusing. We appreciate it. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. We got our pal, the original Claire. She's on the line. Welcome, Claire. Happy Monday. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
What do you call a pea that rolls off the dinner plate?
Go ahead, tell us.
An escapee.
Damn it, Claire.
He's kicking himself.
We love you, Claire. Thank you so much for making us laugh. That's good stuff. 855-752-4842-855-75-Civic. John, you will be next. Tell us something good, buddy.
Yeah. 10 years from now, Trump is going to be a long goner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actuarially speaking, the odds are probably pretty high that would be the case, John. So, unfortunately, we got to live another 4 years under his administration. Thank you, John. Thanks for playing, man. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tell us something good. Ollie from the Northwoods, you are next. Welcome, Ollie. What do you got for us?
Well, I woke up Sunday morning, and for the first time since last fall, my clock was actually on time.
You never set it back, huh?
It's like, well, I tried, but it has a mind of its own, and it
see
changes. itself in a couple of weeks.
That's what I'm saying. Mine does the same thing. Ollie, that's why I didn't change mine this time. I'm like, oh, I got it. My watch, my phone, I'll be fine. And I woke up this morning thinking it was 5:30 and it wasn't. It was 6:30. So my clock does the same thing. It's got a mind of its own. I think it might be a Musk clock. Harvey, how about you, man? You got anything you want to share?
Okay, I know that this is very unpleasant for the two of you to hear.
Okay.
But I have to say that I welcome daylight savings time. I like sitting here and looking out the window, and it's still light out.
Oh, man, I'm down.
I really love it.
Now, can we just leave it like it is today? How about that?
All year round?
Yeah.
Just never change it again.
Yeah, either way. I don't care either way. Let's just keep it the same regardless of which way it is.
Okay, and change. I could buy it.
I'm down with the no change. Mm-hmm. All right, Harvey, we're on the same page. How about you, Jess? What do you got for it?
Yesterday, I went for a hike for the first time in a couple months.
Wow.
This is something I love doing. I love just packing a bag and just leaving the house and just going for a nice, good, long walkies. And it was glorious. I went and I walked around in the woods. And I just listened to the birds. I watched the squirrels. I looked at the trees. It was glorious.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sorry I missed you yesterday. So
the woods needed me. I needed the woods.
Now, are you hiking or walking? Do you have like hiking boots or you just put like tennis shoes on?
Just tennis shoes.
Just some tennis shoes.
That's, yeah.
For a long walk about.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. You got something good?
Well, you know, yes, it was a glorious day today. So, but I already said that. But I do want to shout out happy birthday to my buddy John, who turned 50.
Happy birthday, John!
We had a 50th birthday party for him, and you know all these young kids. It's so cute, Harvey. You know these kids these days hardly got any grades. You know, oh, they're all pushing because that whole crew. I'm the oldest guy in the room now, Harvey. I mean, most of the time when I'm hanging out with folks, I'm the oldest guy in the room. But I do got to say,
How old are you?
I'll be 54 in June, so 53 right now.
Okay, if you don't want to be the oldest guy in the room, when you have a good event coming up, you invite me.
That's right, Harvey. You're always welcome, man. Well, you know what I always say though, it's not the age, Harvey, it's the mileage. But happy birthday to John and his wife Ann. Put a great party together downtown Milwaukee. We went to this facility and had drinks and some food and had a lot of fun. And I just got to tell you, to have a good crew and the kind of folks that you see, you know, once or twice or maybe three times a year to get together and reminisce and make new times and laugh about the old times. And just like, you know, happened to meet John because his wife was a friend of my wife's and, you know, how the world kind of works. And we just had an absolute ball. It was great to see everybody, took some great pics and had a wonderful time. And if there's nothing, I mean, I love celebrating it, and the 50ths are pretty good. But one bad news is I couldn't find the nasty t-shirt that he got me when I turned 50. I must have purged it in the move. So I was going to give it back. But instead, Steph ran to the store, got him some Pepsid, some Tums, some readers. You know, you got to get the readers. You know, you're getting old, all the gay gifts for all of our old friends. So, yes, Harvey, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when I turned 50 and I went into a classroom, I told my students, do you realize that five of me laid out head to toe would take us back before the American Revolution?
Wow.
And now we could say it takes us back to the founding, you know, basically to the founding, 250 years.
Mm, yeah.
So you and your friends, basically only five of you, laid out.
250 years, Harvey. You know what? You're one of those guys collecting all that Social Security, aren't you? Hey, you look great for 250, Harvey. Harvey K., our friend, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Harvey, always a pleasure. Look forward to next week, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jess P.S., working hard on the board. Thank you, all of our fine friends and listeners. Tomorrow, Angela Lane going to join me at 5 o'clock, I believe. Now stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Go out and enjoy the sunlight, folks. Have a great night. You better find somebody to
love. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.